NUE Mobile.
KO4NUE, KO4QOD. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good, bro. How about you? Did you have some of that pie this morning?
Hadn't yet. I was going ahead to give me some breakfast and got out there on the range setting my shelter up. Just now leaving, so I'm running behind.
Not there yet, have they?
Well, they won't be here until after lunch or around lunch. I'm going to meet somebody at the shop to do some paperwork. Never ending circle.
Yeah. Well, you determine how big that circle is. Don't forget that now. But other than that, I am headed to the house. We had a good time last night. Probably stayed up about 11 o'clock, yik-yakking, and smoked our yearly cigar, and, celebrated each other's company, and then that was pretty much it. We hit the rack, and we were out.
That's about the way it was for me last night when I laid down, woke up in the morning, and that was a bar.
Well, listen, I'll let you get on about your day. I know you got, got things to do and all. But I'm here at Punkintown, headed back in. So go home and don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sure you've got something for me, over.
Always something to do.
All right, well, be safe out there. And I'll see you one day this coming week. KO4NUE, I'll be clear with you, Chris. Be safe, bud.
KO4QOD, I'm clear.
Driveways, backyard. I've got a bunch of stuff to do, pull up some weeds, and just stay busy, okay?
And I think probably the best thing to do, I'm just going to go on home, just take the truck down to the shop, hop on the lawnmower, and then I'm just going to go ahead and start cutting the grass. That way I can take my time about it, and then that cuts down on the honeydews, over.
Yes, I understand that. So where have you been this morning?
I'm retired military, so I spent the yesterday and last night with a fellow teammate I deployed with. We hadn't seen each other in years. So we came up here on 12 Mile River and was camped out for a little while, all night. Smoked our yearly cigar and, had some refreshing beverage and big T-bone steak. So we, had a good time. It's nice to catch up and see, how him and his family's doing and all. And, as the night progressed, we told bigger and bigger lies. You know how that goes.
Well, thank you for your service. I was in the Army during the late 60s. And I know about the big lies.
But no, we had a good time, and we got it packed up this morning, so I'm headed on back to the house and gonna get a shower and, might lay down for a little bit. I hadn't made my mind up yet. That or just go ahead and get on the lawnmower, because I know it's coming.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time. I used to do a lot of camping, and started with tents. Did tent camping a long time, and then got a little pop up. They got a little travel trailer, and then I got an RV. And now I have nothing. I really do miss that. I really, really do miss it. But it's always fun getting out like that, get fresh air. And it's nice you can stay in touch with a friend like that. I've got a friend I went to school with, and I've known him since the 60s. And matter of fact, he just came last week and visited he and his wife. We stayed in touch. He's a ham radio operator. Just a minute. We have weekly skids. It's nice being having a friend like that, because they're few and far between when really, really good friends like that you stay in touch with.
It's good to see them, and not spend too much time with them, but just enough to catch up. Just really glad to see one another, just give each other a big old bear hug, and then, laughed and talked and talked. I mean, we just had a ball, And kind of sad this morning when, you get back in your vehicle and he's got quite a drive to get back home, So it's just kind of sad, just brought back a lot of memories,
How about that? Well, at least it's good that you got together. So evidently he's not a ham. Makes it nice when your friend's a ham. You can stay together easier that way.
Well, we had radio there, and he got to listen to a little bit of the net going on last night, and so after the net, he started asking a lot of questions. typically when they move over to asking questions about the exam, how hard is the exam, and what does it take to get started and all this, and they start asking questions like that. You gotta wonder if the wheels are in motion. But we'll wait and see what happens. I know how he thinks. He needs a little time to think about it, and then he's, you know, ask the next group of questions here in the next couple of weeks or whatever, then that's when you, you know, when you drive it home.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully things will sink in and the gears turn and then decides he wants to investigate it a little more. Yeah, I used to help with the volunteer exams. I haven't done it in probably 6 years, 7 years. I did it for a long time. And when I took all my exams, we had to go to Atlanta. That's been a long time ago, of course. It's really so much easier now. The first time I didn't want to turn there. First time I took the exam was actually a novice, and I had to wait over 3 months before I even found out whether I had passed it or not. But it finally came in the mail. It was really slow back in those days, no computers. Oh, man. I'm getting ready to stop by CVS. And I guess I better sign here and let you go. Hope your day goes well. You don't work too hard. Enjoy a little bit of it. And good talking to you. I know I've heard you before, and I've probably talked to you before, but it's been a while. What is it? I'm trying to think what you call this now. What is it? A can? Well, I won't. I'll butcher it, so I won't say. Anyway, you have a good day, Chad. F-Y-Q.
N-U-E, you too, you have a wonderful day, sir. 73, be safe and enjoy this wonderful weather. That's KO4 N-U-E. I'll be clear with you, but standing by, over.
This morning, N4DJC.
KO4NUE. Hey, Jerry, how are you, sir?
That's going to be a great day today, man.
I got probably about halfway home here on Highway 11, and looking forward to that nice hot shower when I get home. Oh, man. Just had a good night last night and good afternoon yesterday with a good friend. So I am tired though. So I'm on might even sneak me a little nap today. We'll see.
Of course, you're not of the age yet, so you don't have to take the afternoon siestas like I do. I usually take one about 3:30 or 4 o'clock for about a half an hour. I used to do it a good bit when I was working a lot. I worked in the plant. I was able to go home for lunch. So, because I only lived about a mile from the plant, so I could go home for lunch. That'd take me about a 30-minute power nap. For long hours, I'd usually go in about 6 and get home about 7 or something like that. I had a pretty big job back in those days. I had about 400 people working for me at that time. If I didn't have that power nap, I'd be
kind of
grumpy.
I can feel it coming on. I don't think I'm going to wait till 3 or 4, though. I think I'm going to go home, get me a nice hot shower, and then, you know, get my honey-do list, and then, you know, I'm going to write on the top of the list, number 0, take nap first. And we'll see how that goes.
Things get in the way of that, but it's always good to do it. I don't do it every day. I'm getting where I'm sleeping a little better than I was. I wasn't sleeping very good right after the time change, but it takes me about a week or so to get accustomed to it, and after that I start sleeping a little better, sleeping a little later in the morning. It took me a long time to not wake up real early in the morning. I did something different the last 15 years. I didn't have to go in early. I usually had to wait for everybody else to get to work, and I started traveling a lot. I had to, you know, use the work in where I start seeing people about 10:30 or so in the morning. I got kind of lazy, but with too busy when the shifts are changing, that sort of thing, to talk to anybody selling them anything, so I had to kind of change my schedule, and I got used to it.
Hey, Chad, I'll get that material dropped by sometime before noon today. KN4 VWA.
KN4 NUE, thank you. But, yeah, Jerry, oh, what are we talking about? Naps? Yeah, I'll go home, get me a shower, and then I got some leftover breakfast. Probably fix us both a little bit of breakfast, and then might go sit out on the swing, drink me another cup of coffee, and talk with my wife for a little while. We got to where we get up in the mornings, and we sit in the living room with, you know, a couple of cups of coffee and just, I don't know, about an hour and a half, I guess. We'd sit there and just, you know, just yik-yak about whatever, you know. Sure does make the day go by better when, you know, you start off that way.
Long time after I retired, we would go out in the morning, almost every morning, and go out and get a cup of coffee, get a little something to eat. Sometimes just coffee. We got where we stay here at home now, but I'll go out and grab us a biscuit or something like that, maybe. And it does make the day go by better. So when you have a little conversation in the morning, able to kind of plan your day, but you know, plans always interrupted. We had to go to Greenville yesterday, pick up the grandkids and brought them back by here, and they stayed till about 8:30 last night, and they had a big time. Of course, the weather was great, and they could get outside and pedal around a little bit. They don't have much of a yard. Then one of those big-sized subdivisions, they don't have much of a backyard, so they enjoy ours, because I don't have a big yard, and not about a half acre, but I don't have nothing in the backyard, so they get out there and do the cartwheels and plane the model airplanes around, you know, gliders around, and do all kinds of stuff back there. They enjoy that.
Well, my oldest son just got married last month. I got three, and so I don't have any grandkids yet, but they came over for Easter, and I'm, you know, just as soon as they came in the door, you know, hey, where's my grandkid? Where's my grandchild? So I stay on them. But, you know, I think it embarrasses my son a little bit, but she's not. She'll tell you right quick, you need to talk to him. I'm ready. But, you know, my son is, he's pretty organized about things. And, you know, got their little budget worked out. He says, well, you just, you know, we're not going to be able to fit in the budget. I said, well, son, if you wait till you can afford one, you'll never have one. That's what I tell him every time. So we'll see. They'll get it figured out.
We had our kids early in life, and then we were able to, you know, after they got out of the house, and I was able to enjoy things a little bit more. Other things came into play, so we didn't have as much free time as we were anticipating. But anyway, we enjoyed them while they were little, and my son will be 50 next year. My daughter's in her, I guess she's 42 now. And son's not married, but he's going to be a confirmed bachelor, I think. I think he thinks women are too expensive. But it's kind of like you told your son, though, if you wait now, if you wait till you afford kids, you will never have any.
He like I said, he came over for Easter, and I told him, I said, look, I've been buying all this stuff for my grandkids, waiting on my grandkids to get here. I said, look here, I got this little youth. I was up at the gun shop not too long ago, and they had a little old Browning 22 lever action youth rifle. Oh, Jerry, it's beautiful. Walnut stock, I mean, you know, little old short thing for kids, lever action. And got a really short action on it. And he says, let me see that. And I said, no, you can't see it. This is not for you. This is for my grandchild. And she says, well, she just kind of looked at me and she said, a rifle? What if it's a granddaughter? I said, hey, we got Walmart sells pink paint. We'll paint them stocks pink just as quick as you can, you know, flick of fly swat. And she just, you know, just kind of just chuckled, you know. So I told him, I'm ready, you know. I got all these gifts here for my grandkids. And I'm waiting on y'all.
This is my son years ago. His was a full size, but he was, you know, he was probably a teenager, a little bit older, but yeah, he sells guns now, so he's got plenty enough for everybody. But those little Bradley 22 levers, those were just as slick as they can be. I hadn't seen the youth model of them, though. I know they make one, but I hadn't seen one. I tell you, all the 22 stuff is getting harder to find now because everybody's so expensive to shoot the centerfire stuff. Handguns and rifles, they're hard to find them. And those little youth bolt actions and stuff. I got an old bolt action that my uncle gave me when I was probably 11 or so. My grandson started asking a little bit about it now, but he'll be 10, so we're kind of cautious because all the school stuff, you know, and there. And, of course, we'll start about one of those bolt actions. We had to pull the firing pin back on the bolt to cock it. It doesn't cock on open. The cock on close. Old Stevens 15B, I think is what it is. It's pretty safe. You know, you don't have to worry about them with that. But I taught my daughter how to shoot, my son how to early on. You know, when they were probably 11 or 12, a little later than I did. I probably started about 8 or 9 years old. But teach them how to do handle it safety, and then they're not afraid of them and know what to do if they see one that ain't where it's supposed to be.
And I started the boys off really young, and my daughter. She's not too good with a rifle, but a pistol. Boy, I'm telling you, that girl is awesome. She outshoot me, you know, in a heartbeat. But I started the boys off on Chipmunk 22s, which is basically under a youth model. It's, you know, little short things, and you got to pull the striker back, you know, to fire the rifle. And I just left them laying in, you know, give the rifles to them, and so to keep them in their bedrooms. But I keep the bolts. I keep the bolts under lock and key when they was little, you know. And then when we go shoot, I'd get the bolts out of the lock cabinet, and then we'd, you know, go shoot and tinker around with them. But we had a lot of good times with those things. I mean, I don't know how many times they've shot them. I suspect they about wore out.
Rogue River Chipmunks are nice guns. They're getting pretty expensive now. They're getting hard to find, too. I remember when they came out years ago, they'd sell bunches of those things, but they were a lot more expensive than, because the ones I remember when they first came out had really nice walnut stocks on them and had peep sights on them, which made it a little easier from the sheet, I think. But that's a great gun, and that's what I deal with mine. I keep my boat, I got a few boat tags. I still keep them locked up, keep my boats locked up on my boat guns for the most part. And my daughter likes, she doesn't shoot much. She goes out to some of her friends every once in a while when they have something over here, claps and that sort of thing. She shot, you know, skeet up a bit more some when she was doing a special on it, doing a TV special on it. She enjoyed that. But, you know, I think women probably make better shooters than men do. They concentrate more. They don't have any preconceived notion of how they're supposed to be able to shoot well.
My wife's a good shooter. Pistol and rifle, you know. I'd say she probably can outshoot me on any day she wants, you know. But we got a rifle range. There's a rifle range up here where the camp is. And we'll come up, shoot, and have fun and, you know, things like that on the weekends sometimes. But I think you're right. I think females typically shoot better. My boys are, you know, they just like to shoot. Don't have to hit a target. just shoot, you know. But as expensive as ammunition is, you gotta, you know, gotta be careful nowadays. It's just too expensive.
22s are hard to find for a while. Of course, we had quite a bit before all this stuff happened. We didn't at first go around when it got scarce. You know, we'd already had some. We kind of laid in a good supply before it happened again when it went back down again. But I don't think it's going down this time, Chad. I see some stuff a little more reasonable than that. When 22s get up around, and when they're around $5 a box of 50 or so, that's you have to be a little more judicious in your shooting. You can't just go out there and blink. I used to go out and shoot a brick ammo in the afternoon. My dad gave me a brand of 22, similar one of 22 semi-autos, a little slim one when I was 16. And that's been, of course, I'm 71 now, so I still got that one. But I bet I put 50, 60,000 rounds through that thing. And I just go out and buy me a brick of 22s. Back in those days, you buy a brick for probably, I don't know, $6, $7, and I shoot a whole brick in the afternoon.
Me and Dad used to do a lot of hunting growing up, hog hunting primarily. We'd go down to Florida and spend 3 weeks down there hog hunting. And I carried a little old Ruger 22. On my side, that's too little to carry anything else. But he'd throw me in that truck, and off to Florida we'd go. Stayed in an old condemned motel in Buckville, Florida, right past the Georgia-Valdosta line. And we carried down around 20-30 dogs with us, and, you know, we'd go down there for 15 days at a time, and boy, I tell you, I had some good memories down there hunting with Dad. He's, you know, Dad taught me a lot about everything, really. But I wouldn't trade those memories for nothing. But just some really good times.
Get out any more there to get them back, because we're swarming with them down below the dam. Horrible dam. There's a big bunch of them down there. You can't hardly stir them with a stick sometimes. I got this. One of the guys got one of those catch pens down there, I know, on South Carolina side, and I think they're on Georgia side, too. They'll roll in, they'll roll in bunches at a time. They'll have like 10 or 12 of them. They'll shoot them at night with night vision, and they just get them out of there. And one of the guys that we know real well has got access. They have a cooler down there that you got to have a code to get in, but it's open 24 hours a day, so whoever the guy that owns it today, you got to know you before he'll let you use it. And, I think you have to pay, of course, too, but those guys hunt at night, they go ahead and, dress them and hang them up in there and get them out of there. Kill a lot of little ones, too, because they just root everywhere, but they'll have 4 or 5 litters a year. They just overrun you in a heartbeat if you don't start shooting them.
And, it's the way it was in Florida, but, you know, you're right. I was coming home from Liberty, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, maybe been about a month back, and was coming down Highway 8, and there's 4 of them just run right out in front of the truck. I didn't hit them or anything, but, this whole litter of them. I thought, oh my goodness, here we go, because they get over there on the property, they'll tear it all to pieces, and I'll have to start hunting them, I guess.
Dental hygienist, we use it. She lives just across the line. She lives right there, not too far off the river down on the Georgia side. And they got trouble. Armadillos now rooting up the turf and trying to put some turf down where they had some washouts down there. And they said they're digging armadillos just get out there and they just root up all the turf looking for grubs. And she said, "What you do? How you do them?" I said, "Ain't more. I said, you can trap them." I said, "There's ways to trap them." I said, "You gotta put stakes down out there and kind of lead them in." A little wire string up down there, and they'll go into a trap that way because they don't see that well. And they'll use their noses, and they'll you get them that way. I said, oh, just get out that, sheet them. A lot of people don't want to sheet them because that boy, it'd make a mess. But good Lord, I said, we just saw one right down the road from us about 3 or 4 days ago. Of course, he was feet up, though. He wasn't walking. But when they coming up this far, they get in this turf and these lawns, people, they're gonna get tired of it and gonna do something about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, they will. They start doing kind of damage to that. They'll pay a heavy price for it. But well, Jerry, I am getting ready to destinate, bud. I appreciate you hanging with me this far and getting me to the house. You have a wonderful day. 73's to you, and I'll be clear on your final, sir.
Good one. Get you some rest. And enjoy the rest of the afternoon, rest of the day. That'll be a good one. Get a little shut-eye there. That nap will help you a lot. Good talking to you, as always. You take care and say, tell Miss Anna hello for me, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. And for DJ Sinclair.
DJW Mobile. It's a lot lower than you normally are.
I don't know. What's different? Are you at home?
Down Greenville. I'm at HT. My wife had an appointment this morning. I'm sitting in the car.
Okay, well, that explains it. It's a wonder your HT can get in at all. Paris Mountain kind of blocks Caesar's Head. And if you're on a HT in Greenville, you're doing really good.
Power up here in a second. I've got a full signal on the receive.
Don't do that. You'll burn your battery up unnecessarily. It's doing fine. It's audible. It just sounds low for Shane, for your normal, for when you're, out and about in the truck. But it's still completely readable. So I wouldn't bump up the power. You enjoying the weekend?
Just woke up and came here. So it's just getting started. But I was curious about my signal normally. Sometimes I get off the radio when I'm driving around and I think, man, I feel like I might have been talking really loud. I hope it's not coming across that I'm yelling.
Let's go back and review it you can go back years and review your signal over time. There's a website that is on the Breyers.cc. There's the link under Our Hobby, I think it is, that takes you to the audio recordings so you can tell what you sound like versus what other people sound like. And you're normal. You fit in well with everybody else.
I know that. I don't know if I want to hear myself. Anytime I hear myself, I don't like what I hear.
I go back and listen to audio files, and when I hear me talking, I'm usually using Audacity, and it lets you click ahead. You can see where people are talking and where there's white space. There's no talking. I'll just click to the next person. I don't like listening to myself at all.
How we do that, and yet that's how I know you, and there's nothing wrong with your voice. It's so funny how we hear ourselves differently inside our own head.
You're absolutely right. What I think I sound like and what I really sound like are two very different things.
I know I don't have the face for television, and sometimes I think I don't have the voice for radio either.
Get normal. I didn't, for the longest time, after my family moved down here from Michigan, after like 10 years or something like that, I was thinking, I never did pick up a southern accent like everybody says you pick up, until I went back up north, and they said, you sound really southern. And then when I went over to France, they said, your French is okay, but it's got a southern accent. I couldn't believe it.
You didn't realize you spoke southern French. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's probably wasn't the first time they heard that, because, a lot of people where I was going over in France, there was a lot of people from down south that were going over there. So I probably they probably learned how to recognize that a long time ago. But I really didn't, it just grows on you, and you don't. Like some people that come down here from the north, especially New Jersey people, they don't ever lose their accent. They never pick up a southern accent. But coming from Michigan, I think I lost mine pretty quick.
How do you say y'all in French? It's CLX.
Lol.
It does start with a V. It's VOO. If it's, so they have the difference between familiar and professional or not familiar, and they use two for you, but for a familiar you, two, T-U, and then they use VU for, you know, if it's formal, like if you're talking to your boss, something like that, you use VU, not two, because that's two is too relaxed. But, and then when you're talking to a bunch of people instead of like y'all, it would, you just use the VU. It's not, it's just VU and y'all and you, as in plural you, is all the same thing. It's all just one word for them, whereas it's two words for us.
All in French would be VU.
He's popping, his mufflers are popping. Sounds like somebody's shooting a gun.
Earlier, say your signal almost sounded like KB4CBA when he's driving, revving up and changing gears. And good morning, Mike. N4ZLK.
I had to ask. And then, yeah, you can always tell someone from Jersey, instead of y'all, they're always saying, use guys.
Or yinzes. I don't know if you've ever heard yinzes, but that's something they used to say up there all the time. And that noise you heard the other time, Shane, was me passing a diesel tractor trailer pulling a front end loader. And we were taking off from a red light, and he was trying to pull off really, really fast. So it was, and he had those stacks, the twin stacks on the back. That Mustang, all you hear from him is that if you heard somebody sounding like somebody shooting a gun, that was that Mustang.
The tractor trailer. I was going to say, my wife, Beth, she's from Delaware. Been down here longer, though, but if she talks to her sisters, it's funny how it changes. But she does say Yella and Sienna, that kind of thing. Still has a little bit of that in her accent.
What I experienced was, you know, I grew up in the West, obviously, with a six call. But when I got to Pennsylvania and people living down by the creek, I never dreamt that someone in the East would say crick.
Third thing, because I've heard crick down here a lot. I didn't realize that was out West as well. I know my aunt, when I used to go up, and we wouldn't say the whole word, or we'd leave a word out altogether, she would laugh at me because she was an English teacher. And she taught her kids, you know, you articulate every word. And there goes that Mustang again. He's turning. That'll be the last pop like that you hear. But she taught her kids to articulate every single word, and being down south, we kind of do what the French call, they call manger les mots, eat your words. In other words, you leave words out because you swallowed the word, you didn't speak it. So, see, that used to tickle her to death when she'd hear me and my sister talk.
Well, I know, I've got cousins in Ohio, and they're as redneck as any Southerners down here. And they talk just with an Ohio accent. They say words like Southerners do, or not the refined Southern.
I'm class to this repeater, and I'll all start talking with a very high-fluting Southern accent.
Levels of fluency, and we all talk in fours now. But the Queen's English is five, so if you want to, you know, step it up a class, you'd have to speak the Queen's English. That would be interesting.
Sir still does that. And I'm kind of surprised that I didn't pick any of that up. But, you know, you grew up in school where you kind of talk like everybody around you, not necessarily your mother.
Smith refers to that English as the fine BBC English.
I refer to it. The French teacher that I had said, nobody speaks five. They said, if you accomplish four, consider yourself done. You're there. Don't reach for five. Because when somebody speaks in five, everybody turns around and looks at them like, well, who is that? What's going on there?
My mother's from Norfolk County, which is East Anglia. That little hump on the back of the boot of England. From a little town or village called Norfolk. Fakeman in Norfolk County. And they have, I'm sure you know this, but every little place in England has their own dialect. But Bacon is known, or Norfolk is known for their own particular dialect, and it's almost a different language. It's hard to understand.
Article a few years ago. Hang on, I got to go over a bump here. Highway 14, and I had to go up over an 8-inch layer of asphalt. Read an article a few years back. They were saying, what basically across the article was, what English did George Washington speak? And they came to the conclusion he speaks like us and Canadians, because they didn't have that English accent back when the country was founded with the colonials. They started that after the Revolutionary War.
I know that. I thought it was the way it always was. When you hear those guys from England, they get on the Echolink, and they get on this repeater on Echolink. I have a hard time distinguishing them from Australians. I guess if you put them side by side and one said something one time and the other one said something the other time, eventually I'd be able to distinguish the difference. But I enjoy listening to the way they talk. It's very, very different, but it's kind of cool to hear the differences, especially when you get into the different words that they use, like the word for truck. I think it's a Libby or something like that. Crisps or French fries and chips or something else. I don't know. Anyway, I'm destinated. I'm going to be out for a little while. Maybe I'll catch you guys later. Good talking to you this morning, W4DJW. This will be my last one.
Good to hear you. And it's a lorry for a truck. And go ahead, Mike. 10-4-ZLK.
Yep. And you have to put your groceries in the boot.
Bonnet is the hood, boot for the trunk. Chips are French fries, what we call French fries. Crisps are potato chips. Biscuits are not what we think of as a biscuit, it's a cookie. So one of my cousins was over here, and she was like, that Chick-fil-A biscuit, that sandwich did not look appetizing when I first saw it.
In years and years working for German companies, and so I'm around German society all day long for years, and it's just different. I can always read something written in German English, and I know immediately if it's German, if it was a German translation or not.
When you hear a lot of it, you can pick it up. Sorry, where's it got? A little scratchy there. But anyway, I'm going to listen now. My battery is only at half charge, and I don't want to run it down and drop out. So, Mike, have a good day. Good to hear you. And I'll talk to you again. N6CLX, N4ZLK.
All right, Shane, N4ZLK, N6CLX. I'm going to clear out, too. I'm trying to get a haircut. I'm late. So I'll have to run in. N6CLX. I'll be clear.